Hi, and welcome to Show Tunes with Kate Botello from Interlochen Public Radio. Coming up, two works by writer, director, and performer Melvin Van Peebles. And what happens when Chekhov's gun explodes? Our friend Joe Levesque will tell us in intermission. In Act Two, big-selling boots, successful psychos, and nuns? Sure, why not? Lights are dimming in our virtual house, so please silence your cell phones. The Minecraft music is awesome, but it doesn't really go with show tunes, so yeah. Thank you. The orchestra is warming up for tonight's opening, which is a twofer. We'll have the Overture to Damn Yankees and the opening number, 6 months of the Year, in which husbands rhapsodize about the arrival of baseball season and wives do not.
Next at the plate for the Yankees, Hank Bauer. On deck, Mickey Mantle.
When we met in 1938, it was November. When I said that I would be his mate, it was December. I reasoned he would be the greatest husband that a girl had ever found. That's what I reasoned. Then April rolled around.
Strike three, ball four, walk around, I'll tie the score. You're blind ump, you must be out of your mind, ump.
6 months out of every year, I might as well be made of stone. 6 months out of every year when I'm with him, I'm alone. 6 months out of every year, he doesn't take me anywhere. 6 months out of every year when I play cards, solitaire. The other 6 months out of every year, we are hardly ever seen apart. But then the Washington Senators take over my place in his heart. 6 months out of every year, I might as well be wearing crepe. Life is just an awful bore from which I find no escape. 6 months out of every year.
Strike three, ball, four, walk around and tie the score. Fly ball, double play, Yankees win again today. Those damn Yankees, why can't we beat them? He's out. You're blind up, you must be out of your mind now.
6 months out of every year, he lives by the television set.
He's out.
If you see that man of mine, how does he look? I forget.
Let's go!
6 months out of every year, we know there is no other day.
He's out.
If he
He's out. Right, three, four, four. Walk around the tire store.
We might as well be wearing crepes.
When I get to bed,
life is just an awful bore from which I find.
He's out.
No,
you're blind up. You must be out of your mind.
We're dying for the mercury to drop to three below.
Baseball season is in full effect to the joy of many and the great irritation of others. In the opening to Adler and Ross's 1955 show, Damn Yankees. Now, we're going to hear a couple of very different works by Melvin Van Peebles. He's a novelist, film director, and performer. Van Peebles released three albums in the early 70s that were mostly spoken words set to music, kind of like early rap or slam poetry. And they reflected the world as a harsh place, especially for Black people, especially in New York City. He said that the songs were mirroring the incidents that were happening in the streets. And he turned those songs into a Broadway show, Ain't Supposed to Die a Natural Death. It was nominated for 7 Tony Awards, including for original score. Now here's the opening number, Just Don't Make No Sense. Now remember, this is supposed to be New York in 1971, but it still resonates today.
Been rushing in there to fat mouth me down and the man to shoot me down. No, just don't make no sense the way these pawns are hurting me. Frown, you're hostile. Smile, you're tall. Look tired, you're on jump. Stumble, you're drunk. If I wash, I'm a pimp. And if I don't, I'm a bum. And these feet, well, these feet won't let me be. No, just don't make no sense the way these cons are hurting me. Yeah, I wanna get on. What you think I'm standing here for, huh? Damn right I've been waiting long. Ain't you never heard of rapid urban transportation? All you folks think Black folks is for is waiting. waiting for the Supreme Court's latest jive decision. Waiting. Waiting for the man to pick who is qualified. Waiting in the emergency ward to die. No. Just don't make no sense the way these horns are hurting me. If I don't get me a seat, the revolution is here. You step on these feet and the revolution is right now.
Arthur French sang lead on Just Don't Make No Sense from Melvin Van Peebles' acclaimed 1971 show Ain't Supposed to Die a Natural Death. Now, his next show, the next year, was nominated twice. Don't Play Us Cheap is about a family that literally, and I do believe this is one of the rare instances where the word literally is grammatically correct, the family literally overcomes its demons. And these are party-pooping demons whose sole purpose is to ruin a Harlem family's birthday party. Now, by the end, one of the imps is engaged to the birthday girl, and the other turns into a cockroach and gets smashed by the lady of the house. Now, listen. I'm fickle, okay? If you ask me what my favorite show tune is, it's going to change every week because I get to go exploring through our vinyl vault. But for now, this next song is my new favorite song. I've been obsessed with it for what? We're going on 2 weeks here and I still cannot hear it enough. Here is You Cut Up the Clothes in the Closet of My Dreams.
Ooh, that's it. That's my song. Got me
as you're going up to
school. Hey, pull off the seams and rip down the seams.
Or as you're going down.
Oh, with that new sweet, sweet, sweet thing I found. Hey, yeah. My dreams are as clean as an Easter Sunday.
Armstead changes my life every time she sings "You Cut Up the Clothes in the Closet of My Dreams" from Melvin Van Peebles' Don't Play Us Cheap. And now, in total contrast, here's another song about disappointment, this time from Grease, which, by the way, was nominated for Best Musical in the same year as Ain't Supposed to Die a Natural Death. Now, technically, the two shows are in the same category, but they are not in the same category. Here is tragedy in the world of Grease. It's raining on prom night.
I was deprived of a young girl's dream by the cruel force of nature from the blue. Instead of a night full of romance supreme, all I got was a runny nose and Asiatic flu. It's raining on prom night. My hair is a mess. It's running all over my taffeta dress. It's quilting, the quilting in my maiden form. And mascara flows right down my nose because of the on prom night. Oh, my darling, what can I do? I miss you. It's raining rain from the skies, and it's raining
real tears from my eyes over you. Oh, dear God, make him feel the same way I do right now. Make him want to see me again. Oh, what can I do? It's raining, rain from the skies. It's raining, tears from my eyes over you. Raining, raining, raining.
Please, won't someone think of the taffeta? That was Carol Demus and Kathy Moss as Sandy and Cha-Cha with It's Raining on Prom Night from Jacobs and Casey's Grease. And now, this episode will premiere on IPR on the second Sunday in May, which makes this the ideal moment for a frolic with Julie Andrews in Camelot.
The lusty month of May, that lovely month when everyone goes blissfully astray. Tra-la, it's here, that shocking time of year, when tons of wicked little thoughts merrily appear. It's May, that gorgeous holiday, when every maiden prays that her lad will be a cad. It's mad, it's gay, a libelous display, those dreary vows that everyone takes, everyone breaks, everyone makes divine mistakes, the nasty month of May. Whence this fragrance wafting through the air? What sweet feelings does its scent transmute? Whence this perfume floating everywhere? Don't you know it's that dear forbidden fruit? Tra-la-la-la-la, that dear forbidden fruit. Tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la,
tra-la-la-la-la,
tra-la, tra-la,
tra-la,
tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. It's May, the lusty month of May, that darling month when everyone throws self-control away. It's time to do a wretched thing or two, and try to make each precious day one you'll always rue. It's May, the month of yes you may, the time for every frivolous whim, proper or im. It's wild, it's gay, a blot in every way. The birds and bees with all of their vast amorous past gaze at the human race aghast.
Julie Andrews as sprightly party hostess Queen Guinevere in The Lusty Month of May from Lerner and Lowe's 1960 show, Camelot. House lights are coming up and the bell has sung its song, so it's time for intermission. As Chekhov said, one must never place a loaded rifle on the stage if it isn't going to go off. It's wrong to make promises you don't mean to keep. Well, we will deliver on our promise for a great Chekhov's gun story right now, or rather, our friend Joe Levesque will deliver from Toronto via Skype.
I did this production, although it was a workshop production, of Uncle Vanya at Grant McEwen Kitty College, which is now called McEwen University. And we would usually do a workshop of a play in the fall. And that year, our class was divided in two. We did Uncle Vanya, we did The Cherry Orchard. It was very minimal budget, done in a black box, and we would buy our own props. So I got to play Uncle Vanya, and it was perhaps the most angst-ridden version Chekhov play you've ever seen in your life. And they're meant to be comedies, but man, it's hard for someone in their early 20s to understand the comedy behind Russian life. And at the end of the third act, Uncle Vanya is supposed to rush into the room with a gun and he's going to shoot his father because he's just had it with him. He's insufferable. And he points the gun at the father and he shoots. He says the word bang. It's actually in the script, bang. And he misses, or no, the gun doesn't go off. So he throws the gun to the floor, yells, damn it, and, collapses. And the scene sort of finishes off. And then the next scene, the two servants are sitting around, and the one says to the other, so what did you do with the gun? And the one guy says, oh, I put it in the cellar. So we get to opening night, and, of course, we're all feeling it. We're in the middle of Chekhov realism. And I come running on with my gun and I point it at my father and I go bang. And then I, damn it. And I threw the gun to the floor and it exploded into 1,000 pieces, shattering and scattering all over the floor of this black box theater. And of course, I'm a collapse to the floor and I'm like breathing heavily. And I have this realization that I destroyed the gun that's meant to be used for the other play in 3 hours. And then the PS on that is in the next scene, the one servant says to the other, so what did you do with the gun? And the other guy goes, I put it in the cellar, as he sort of glances around at all the pieces that he's trying to not step on. That's my Chekhov story.
So there you have it. When Chekhov's gun explodes, try to clean it up before the next scene. Ah, college black box theater. It is the best. Now, admittedly, that war story was not tied to a show tune, so I'll pick one out for you, Joe. Here's Ethel Merman with You Can't Get a Man with a Gun from Irving Berlin's 1946 Annie, Get Your Gun.
Was frightened by a shotgun, they say. That's why I'm such a wonderful shot. I'd be out in the cactus and I'd practice all day. And now tell me, what have I got? I'm quick on the trigger with targets not much bigger than a pinpoint. I'm number one. But my score with a feller is lower than a sailor. Oh, you can't get a man with a gun. When I'm with a pistol, I sparkle like a crystal. Yes, I shine like the morning sun. But I lose all my luster when with a Bronco Buster. Oh, you can't get a man with a gun. With a gun, with a gun. No, you can't get a man with a gun. If I went to battle with someone's herd of cattle, you'd have steak when the job was done. But if I shot the herder, they'd holler bloody murder. And you can't shoot a male in the tail like a quail. Oh, you can't get a man with a gun. If I shot a rabbit, some furrier would grab it for a coat that would warm someone. But you can shoot a lover and use him for a cover. Oh, you can't get a man with a gun. The gals with umbrellas are always out with fellers in the rain or the blazing sun. But a man never trifles with gals who carry rifles. Oh, you can't get a man with a gun. With a gun, with a gun. you can't get a man with a gun. A Tom, Dick, or Harry will build a house for Carrie when the preacher has made them one. But he can't build your houses with buckshot in his trousers, for a man may be hot, but he's not when he's shot. Oh, you can't get a man with a gun.
There goes the ding, so we'll say thanks and goodbye to Joe, who said, by the way, that someone did manage to get rid of the gun fragments before the end of the show and get a new gun for the next show. Good move. Let's head in for Act Two, where we have music from one show that's a big hit of the moment and another that was huge in London that just opened on Broadway, so we'll see how that turns out. Both shows feature very modern music. Kinky Boots has a lot of techno influence, and American Psycho is dark 80s pop. Up next, Lola makes a deal in What a Woman Wants, and Patrick Bateman gives a chilling but catchy look at his life's priorities. That one's called Morning Routine.
Stand back. Let me tell you something. What a woman wants to see. Turn back, Mister. I know everything, but it's what you blindly see. What a woman wants: masculinity, sensitivity. In a fantasy.
What a man.
What a woman wants.
What a man.
A muscle to clutch.
What a man.
Just a tender touch.
You don't get out too much.
To know the smoothness of her skin with a gentle caress. Feel the feathery quality of her dress. What separates a man like you from a man like me? I'm a reflection, her protection. I'm her curious mystery.
What a man!
What a woman!
What a man!
What a woman!
What a man! What a man!
What a woman wants!
What a man! What a man! What a man!
What a man!
What a woman!
What a man!
What a woman!
What a man!
What a woman!
What a man! What a man!
What a woman wants!
Come on, we all know what a bird really wants is a rock solid.
Commitment. You, divinely dull, drab, and dumpy.
A woman wants a man to give as much as she can take. Just like me.
A puppet, a Nestle, Thoreau on the mic.
I'll piss off.
Ooh, I have a challenge for you. Write down what you think I need to do to be a real man, and I'll do the same for you. Whatever you tell me to do, I will have to do. But you will have to do the same for me. Deal?
I ain't wearing no puffy dress.
Chickening out already. What a woman wants. What a woman wants. What a woman wants. What a woman. What a woman. What a woman wants. It's me.
It took me 19 years, but I finally developed a good relationship with my body.
Today, computers are management tools, giving you a competitive edge.
24-hour person-to-person service with every checking account. Where's the nearest ATM?
I don't clean anymore. Because none of you ordinary cleaners give me what I want.
Whenever I shower, sometimes twice, sometimes three times a day, I use a honey almond wash on my ripped body and an exfoliating spearmint gel on my face. I apply Clinique moisturizer and an anti-aging eye balm before I shave with a razor and cream by Pour On. No cologne on the face ever, as the high alcohol content dries out your skin and makes you look older.
Milk's about the best thing I can drink right now to help me build strong arms,
powerful legs, and a broad chest. And when all my work is done, will you love me just for my body?
I can live with that.
Milk, it does a body good.
My suit today is an 80s drape from Alum Flusser, with a bladed back to accommodate my impressive physique. My tie is by Valentino Couture, shoes by A. Testoni, underwear by Ralph Lauren.
And if all else failed, you could get a sense of patriotism from the popular culture. The movies celebrated democratic values and implicitly reinforced the idea that America was special. TV was like that too. But now we're about to enter the 90s, and some things have changed.
Painting? A David Onica. The TV set? 30 inches, digital, Toshiba. High contrast, highly defined, plus it has picture-in-picture capabilities. Plus, freeze frame. My Walkman, with auto-reverse continuous play, is by Sony. I am 26 years old, living in New York City at the end of the century, and this is what being Patrick Bateman means to me.
Matt Smith's serial killer, Patrick Bateman, tells us about what's really important to him in that number in Duncan Sheik's brand new Broadway arrival, American Psycho. Now, before that, Billy Porter's Lola strikes a bargain in What a Woman Wants from Kinky Boots, music and lyrics by Cyndi Lauper. Well, I don't know about you, but that song is cool and the soundtrack is fun, but eavesdropping on the inner workings of a serial killer makes me want to listen to something really nice, like nuns. Nuns are nice. And in The Sound of Music, nuns are downright adorable even when they're complaining. Here's the original cast recording.
She climbs a tree and scrapes her knee. Her dress has got a tear.
She waltzes on her way to mass and whistles on the stair.
And underneath her wimple she has curlers in her hair.
I've even heard her singing in the Abbey.
She's always late for chapel,
but her penitence is real.
She's always late for everything except for every meal. I hate to have to say it, but I very firmly feel Marie is not an asset to the Abbey.
I'd like to say a word in her behalf.
Then say it, Sister Margareta.
Maria makes me laugh. do you solve a problem like Maria? How do you catch a cloud and pin it down? How do you find a word that means Maria? A flippity-jibbit, a will-o'-the-wisp, a clown. Many a thing you know you'd like to tell her. Many a thing she ought to understand. But how do you make her stay and listen to all you say? How do you keep a wave upon the sand? Oh, how do you solve a problem like Maria? How do you hold a woman in your head? When I'm with her, I'm confused, out of focus and bemused, and I never know exactly where I am.
Unpredictable as weather, she's as flighty as a feather.
She's a darling.
She's a demon.
She's a lamb.
She'll outpester any pest, drive a hornet from his nest.
She could throw a whirling dervish out of whirl. She is gentle, she is wild.
She's a riddle, she's a child.
She's a heavy, she's an angel.
How do you solve a problem like Maria? How do you catch a cloud and pin it down? How do you find a word that means Maria?
A flippity-jippet, a will-o'-the-wisp,
a clown. Many a thing you know you'd like to tell her. Many a thing she ought to understand.
I couldn't resist. Here's a little clip of a sketch on Saturday Night Live. Pop star Ariana Grande plays Maria, walking in on the other nuns just when they finish singing the song.
Wow! Good to hear this, a bunch of nuns singing smack about me.
Maria, we didn't see you there.
Yeah, I know you didn't, but I heard everything. And you thought Maria was a problem before? Well, buckle up.
Well, goodness, you're being a bit sensitive, Maria. We weren't saying anything negative about you.
Oh, yeah? Then what's the song called?
Well, it doesn't really have a name.
Do not front with me right now!
Fine, it's called How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria?
Wow!
Now, don't let us steer you wrong. Being a nun can't be fun all the time, can it? Let's dip into our record collection to ask the sisters from Nonsense.
Hello, my name is Sister Mary. Oh. For a moment there, I thought I remembered my real name. Oh, well, I think it is just wonderful that you want to be a nun. And you think it might be fun to be one of the ones who's a nun. Then the order you elect to select should reflect, I suspect, a desire to perfect all you've done up to now. I wish that some...
Stop! I can't stand listening to this.
Sister Marionette, what are you doing here? I thought you stayed in France with the Protestants.
No way, Jose. Girls, if you want to be a nun, join an order that still wears a habit.
Oh, now wait a minute, sister. I know it's true that we still wear habits, but even I know a habit does not a nun make.
Oh, get real, will ya? Hit it, short heart. It's a really very simple, with a wimple you learn. You get instant respect, which you don't have to earn. You move right up in line without waiting your turn. Virtues like patience are not our concern.
Oh, sister, I thought virtue was always our concern. Think about our solemn vows. There are three you must espouse: poverty, chastity, and obedience. Hello!
What the hell you trying to do? Make me go deaf?
Oh, don't be silly, sister. You know you can't go deaf. I mean, everyone can see. Nuns don't have ears! Now, where was I? Let's start with poverty. Empty your purse. Poverty makes being poor even worse. Granted, it's not so extreme for a nun. We may not be starving, but still let's not fawn. Not fun, 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 fun.
Poverty's great. Well, isn't it obvious? We can have anything. We just can't own it.
Oh. Chastity is where we found our postulants are losing ground. You must be celibate. You can't go around. Sister, obedience is number three. We cannot question what will be if you have no opinions. The
Gershwin, honey, 1935, and you weren't in it. Now back to obedience. If pain can make you perfect, then this vow is for you. Every time you disobey, they beat your black and blue.
Sister, the confessional's where she belongs. Everything she says is wrong.
Sister's just jealous, cause I stole her song.
Dedication and commitment, she's so full of. Don't finish that one.
No habit, no ticket to fun.
Being a nun's not all fun and games, at least not according to Dan Goggins' 1986 musical, Nonsense. Nonsense has 6 sequels, 3 spin-offs, endless regional productions, has been translated into 21 languages. And this is amazing because before it was a show, Nonsense was a line of greeting cards. Okay, time now to head to our vinyl vault for the 11 o'clock number, which often features some sort of epiphany or catharsis. In tonight's case, Henry Higgins realizes he's grown accustomed to Eliza Doolittle's face. Now, for some people, that realization would be like, huh, okay. But for Rex Reeds Higgins, it's kind of an apocalypse.
I've grown accustomed to her face. She almost makes the day begin. I've grown accustomed to the tune that she whistles night and noon. Her smiles, her frowns, her ups, her downs are second nature to me now. Like breathing out and breathing in. I was serenely independent and content before we met. Surely I could always be that way again. I've grown accustomed to her looks, accustomed to her voice, accustomed to her face. Marry Freddy. What an infantile idea. What a heartless, wicked, brainless thing to do. But she'll regret it. She'll regret it. It's doom before they even take the vow. I can see her now, Mrs. Freddie Eynsford Hill, in a wretched little flat above a store. I can see her now, not a penny in the till and a bill collector beating at the door. She'll try to teach the things I taught her and end up selling flowers instead. Begging for her bread and water while her husband has his breakfast in bed. In a year or so, when she's prematurely grey and the blossom in her cheek has turned to chalk, she'll come home and lo, he'll have upped and run away with a social climbing heiress from New York. Poor Eliza, how simply frightful, how humiliating, how delightful. How poignant it'll be on that inevitable night when she hammers on my door in tears and rags. Miserable and lonely, repentant and contrite. Will I take her in or hurl her to the wolves? Give her kindness or the treatment she deserves? Will I take her back or throw the baggage out? Well, I'm a most forgiving man. The sort who never could, ever would, take a position and staunchly never budge. Just a most forgiving man. But I shall never take her back. If she were crawling on her knees, let her promise to atone, let her shiver, let her moan. I'll slam the door and let the hellcat freeze. Marry Freddy. Ah! But I'm so used to hear her say good morning every day. Her joys, her woes, her highs, her lows are second nature to me now. Like breathing out and breathing in. I'm very grateful she's a woman and so easy to forget. Rather like a habit one can always break. I've grown accustomed to the trace of something in the air, accustomed to her face.
Reed has apparently grown overwhelmingly accustomed to Eliza Doolittle's face in the 11 o'clock number from Lerner and Lowe's 1956 musical, My Fair Lady. We'll end tonight's show the way we began, with the finale to Damn Yankees.
Genius.
gotta have heart, baseball fans and theater fans. Everybody, hearts all around. The curtain falls, the crowd goes wild, and we come to the end of another episode of Show Tunes with Kate Botello. That's me. Find all our episodes online at interlochenpublicradio.org. How are you liking the show? Send us an email. Let us know. That's ipr@interlochen.org, or give us a call at 800-441-9422. Michael Culler is our engineering wizard. This is Interlochen Public Radio. See you in the aisles.